live from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper. You are live from the path.
And you're listening to Live from the Path, broadcasting from the Pathway Studios here in Johnston proper. Thanks for joining us tonight. It's a full studio in here. I tried to kick Buva out, and he refused to go.
Absolutely not. I'm not leaving.
I can understand your position on the matter. Here's the deal. Should be a great show tonight. Righteous Vendetta's in the studio. Hey, fellas.
Hey.
That's exactly what I was hoping for. It couldn't have gone better.
That was pretty festive.
I thought if I could get a hoot and holler, it would kick off the show right.
That's how we do it.
Here's what we got going on. We're going to talk to these guys. They got some new music coming out. They're on a tour. Lots of good stuff going on in their world. So we'll talk to them. See what we can learn. We're progressing through our 50 proofs that God is imaginary. Tonight we're talking about DNA and how it proves that God is not real. We'll walk through it.
Yeah.
Whoa!
I previewed a thing and it didn't look like the strongest thing I've ever seen, but we'll give it a go.
We might have to do two.
You want to give him two cracks at it?
We might have to do two questions because that DNA doesn't hold a lot of water.
Okay, so we'll give that a shot. Also, we got some secular versus Solomon. If you remember the game, I give you a proverb. You tell me whether it is secular, it is of the world, or whether it is from Solomon or otherwise biblically based. And if it is secular, you also have to tell me the country of origin. So we'll see how that goes. The last time we played this game, the guys got wiped out.
Terrible.
They did a terrible job.
Nope. I did okay.
I did poorly. Yeah, I may have been for a repeat. And no, I'm used to the NIV excuses this week, Hudson.
It works.
It doesn't play in this.
I should probably read it again in the modern translation.
I just recently switched to the ESV 3 years ago, and I feel like the scripture's just not the same. I haven't made my way to Proverbs yet.
Yeah, it's kind of a problem, isn't it?
Also, we got some advice on dear life from the path, and check this out. So I got two regrets this week. You want to hear them?
Yep.
Okay, sure. here's two things that I've done, and then I'm really disappointed in myself. The first one is I have four buttons on my pants. And this is the first pair of pants that I've ever owned that had more than one button, right? Like, usually it's a jean style. You got one at the top and that's it. But this thing is complicated.
Are they jeans or regular? Are they dress pants?
They're not dressy, really. But there's four, what?
Isn't that kind of like an 80s thing?
Yeah. What? Bruce Springsteen used to do that.
Like four
I'm
in a line?
I'm pretty sure I'm the guy in the room who was alive back then.
I have pants like that.
That's what I'm saying.
They're nice.
That was weird.
That looked, I have buttons too.
Okay, that makes more sense. So I got three coming up and then one at the top. You got four total. Okay.
Yeah.
So I've broken every one of the buttons on my pants except for the very bottom one.
You're fat.
And so my pants are hanging on with a belt only. I had two before the day started. And then I lost another one midday.
Man, that's low rent.
I think you need to find someone who can either sew on some buttons or get rid of the pants.
These have been repaired before.
Maybe you should stop wearing these or lose some weight. Yeah, I said it.
Your appearance has become a problem.
My pants may be a bit larger than yours, but they fit.
They fit when I put them on.
There's no problem.
This is funny because I ran into the same situation. I took my daughter to a daddy-daughter dance this week, and I have not broken my good pants out in over 3 years, only to find out the button was missing. So I cable-tied them together. And then hit it with a belt, so no one would notice the difference. Here's the problem. I've done that one other time, and when you have to use the bathroom, that's a problem. Yeah. Your pants don't just come down on their own, you know what I'm saying? I find something to cut the cable tie to finish what I'd started.
Yeah. I hear you.
Just for a heads up, it's not a good idea.
Okay, second regret.
Go ahead.
I don't know how this came about, but I noticed this morning that I cut my fingernails, but I cut everyone except for one. So I got like nine legitimately cut fingernails and like one wonky giant claw nail. And I was in a pickle, right? Because I thought, I mean, this looks stupid. And I'm going to like be walking around and someone's going to notice it. So I'm trying to gnaw it off and it's coming off in chunks. And it doesn't look good. So it's been a rough week for me in those two areas.
Here's how my life's going so far.
Now this helps you out. I have a buddy who is a pretty high level. He's a CFO for a Fortune 500 company. Pretty impressive resume. He's always had a fingernail that's like really long, and I've always wanted to say, dude, you know. But I didn't know if he just didn't notice or it's like he.
Some people use it for illicit.
Is it like a cool thing? Like, yeah, I've got this one long fingernail.
It's a spoon. Some people use it as a spoon,
like for cereal.
Yeah, for cereal.
For other things.
I don't. Whatever you'd use a spoon for.
For downtown cereal. Are you with me?
Oh. I'm catching the drugs, what Dad. You're the playing drugs. Now, buddy.
Yeah.
He doesn't do that.
I regret it. I shouldn't have brought it up. Yeah, that was my mistake.
With this group, that was a terrible mistake.
Yeah. I said the pants thing, and I got half of Righteous Vendetta's like checking their belt. I can see buttons coming off. And
I have a replaceable button.
Oh, really?
Yeah, look. I took it
off. He showed it to me. I saw it.
Well, but why?
It's one of those deals on TV. Just do the little thing, and it makes a button.
I bought these really small pants, and my button broke instantly. So I got a replaceable button.
Okay, that's awesome.
As seen on TV.
Okay. That solves my problem, right? I don't have to lose weight or anything. I'm just going to get a button that will do my favors. I like this. I like what you've done here.
That's how I do it.
Okay.
Now we're talking.
All right. Well, here's the deal.
Downtown cereal. Okay. That's what I'm saying.
That's not going to pass.
Yeah, that's cool.
All right. So let's get to know Righteous Vendetta. Fellas, first of all, thanks so much for stopping by live from the path. I appreciate you guys coming by. Those poor fellas, they showed up like 45 minutes before the show and had to endure our pre-show entertainment.
No.
Will you show us how you entertained us the whole time?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to pull the camera on me a little bit.
Give it to him, Bova.
Okay. So I did the, as you guys all know and love, the...
That's all we asked for. That's it.
They told me to not talk and sit in the corner and do this.
You'll shut your mouth and dance.
Dance for us.
We thank you.
Yeah.
See, now here's what you've done. You told me to replace that clip and not show it anymore, but now you've provided me with fresh tape.
That's okay.
I'm in.
I have lost weight since that, so okay. I'm fine with that.
Fair enough. All right. So anyway, so you guys are swinging by. You're in the middle of a tour.
Yeah.
All right. So to tell me a little bit about this tour so far. Like, where have you been? Where are you going?
Okay. Well, we've only played two shows. We just left.
You kind of set it up a little bigger than that, man.
Yeah.
So you're on an arena-style tour.
That's epic, right?
Where haven't you been?
We were in Denver. We practiced in someone's living room for a few days.
Yeah.
And then we headed to Grand Island, Nebraska. And then we headed to Osceola last night. And now we have a few days off.
did they like do like the pyrotechnics and all that stuff in the living room? I mean, we
did the full. The house isn't there anymore.
Yeah.
That we were practicing. Cool. Yeah. So it was kind of a disposable house.
They didn't tell us that when we got there, but it turns out it was true.
They didn't know it was coming.
It was a temporary house.
Yeah. If you're listening, sorry about that.
These things come and go.
Yeah.
Put your trust in Jesus. That's what I got. So you guys have a new album that's in the works.
Yeah, so, it's done.
Oh, it's done.
It is fully recorded, ready to go.
All right. Now is there anything different about this album compared to previous efforts?
Yes. It's different. Our old stuff's really heavy, a lot like White Angel from the 80s. No, not really. Our old record was really heavy.
Are you saying Whitesnake?
I meant Whitesnake.
Hey, you know, the guys with the buttons
like
on
Whitesnake,
their pants.
If it's like Whitesnake, I think this interview's done.
Yeah, it's over. All right, see you guys later.
We should probably leave. I don't think we're supporting the same message if you guys like Whitesnake.
Yeah, the new record's much different. It's a lot lighter, a lot more of a radio format kind of style. Anthemic.
Whitesnake anthems.
Yeah, anthems. It's a lot more sing-along-y and awesome. We're excited.
Good,
so,
I'm excited to hear it.
So yeah. what caused the change, right? What caused you to move kind of in this direction?
I mean, apart from, you know, God calling us to it, you know, this is our passion, you know, that kind of music is our passion. You know, we want to reach as many people as we can with Jesus and love. And so what better way to do that than appeal to more people with a more broad style of music?
That's Paul. Meet them where they're at, right? You don't roll into the Greeks and start throwing stones. You know what I'm saying? You meet them where they're at. I see that you guys are very philosophical. let's talk Jesus. That's a solid move. I agree with that.
Yeah.
That's it.
So what are you guys listening to right now? As a group.
As a group. Well, we've had different taste. I've been listening a lot lately. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Love and Death. You know Brian Head Welch?
Yeah.
his new band.
Okay,
I've been jamming that. And then,
hey, he's another guy that didn't agree to come on the show.
He didn't.
I sent him an email. He said no, thank you. So if you happen to run into him, say you should do this.
Okay, I will.
No, I'll pray for you.
<That's right. laughs> I will. And I've been listening a lot of. You guys know who Ellie Goulding is?
Yeah,
her. Her new record is very, very nice.
Very cool. What about the rest of you fellas? What do you got in the old jukebox?
do you not believe in jukeboxes?
I listen to only country music. Weird as that sounds.
Is that true?
That's definitely true. Brad Paisley, Keith Urban, Tim McGraw.
Okay, Brad Paisley is a wicked guitar player.
He's insane,
that,
man.
That guy is fierce.
Okay.
Excellent songwriting. I even have trouble talking Carrie to the five Underwood. Of these guys about it. But so I can't tell everybody in masses why they should listen to country music, but excellent. That's all I listen to is country music.
Is that Carrie Underwood thing true?
It's true, man. Her new single, Blown Away, is one of the best songs I've ever heard.
All right.
It didn't blow me away.
I have been listening to a lot of Hands. I don't know if you've heard of that band.
No.
A lot of soft, heavy music.
Salt heavy hands. I'm with you.
That doesn't make sense at all, but to me it does. I know he understands, but okay, bye.
You can rock the orangey. Rock the orange mic. Yeah. The red one.
I've been listening to a lot of Ascend the Hill, and also like Ryan, Love and Death, and Spoken.
Yeah.
All right.
I have not heard anybody mention Barney.
You didn't wait. You got to wait on it.
I stole the words right out of my mouth.
I could see it.
Let me speak first.
That's a given, man.
Yep. Everybody knows.
I listen to bands like Tidal Fight and hardcore bands like Refuge, plugging them from Florida.
All right.
Some buddies of mine.
Just do it.
Just thank you. Nike. Mean it. It says mean it.
Just do it.
Actually,
do it.
Hopefully I don't get anybody sued.
Man,
no one's watching. No big deal.
No one's watching.
We don't get sued because no one watches the show. Nothing to worry about. All right. Well, cool. You can find out more about Righteous Vendetta by going to their website, righteousvendetta.com. There's a free download out there. I picked that up today. It's fierce. Yep. I love it.
It'll scare your kids.
It scared yours.
Yeah. Scared my kids.
They ran. Need some dinner music tonight. And
yeah, if you're taking your lady out for a nice date, this pain is a great it's a great tune to just...
This is what
the
my
mood.
Soul
Pull
says
up the
to
video,
you,
just
baby.
Watch it together, and just really dig on everything.
Look into her eyes and crank it up. you can also hook up with them on Facebook. Here's the deal. If you like Live from the Path, which I highly recommend you do, we like Righteous Vendetta. So go to our page, give us a like, and then you can take a look at what we like, and then you can like them from there.
A lot of liking.
And that's chain
how,
reaction.
That's how I – here's the deal. I've been paying for likes. we got $50 in free Facebook ads when we changed our new website, and I put $50. I'm like, we get some likes out of this thing. And it's like $1 a like, basically, is what it turns out to be. I thought, that's totally worth it.
It's worth it.
It makes it look like
people like
show.
Us.
I can just create Facebook and start liking.
I'm tired of making alter egos to make our Facebook look more
50,000 Facebooks.
Already. I'll just throw on some more
Facebooks. Six of those are me, sorry.
Okay. I'm not going to throw out names just in case this person's watching. So I'm just going to start making up names like, hey, wait a minute. I already have a Facebook. It's
like, hey, Billy John?
Okay, so here's the deal. We're going to catch up more with Righteous Vendetta in just a little bit. Let's move on to the proof. So we're on our 50 proofs at godisimaginary.com, and you can check it out by going to godisimaginary.com. Basically, he's got 50 proofs out here that he says these – if you read through these things, this is why God, how I know that God is imaginary. We've been walking through them. God is 36-0, but we're on 37, and he wants us to think about DNA. Here's how it goes. Proof number 37. Many religious believers, Buva, use the existence of DNA as a proof for God's existence. The logic goes something like this. DNA is information. The amount of information encapsulated in a single strand of human DNA would fill 400 volumes the size of an Encyclopedia Britannica. And this information contains an exact blueprint for creating a human being. This information did not write itself. The creation of information requires intelligence. The creation of an encyclopedia requires an author, a creator. God is the creator of the information in DNA. As we saw in Proof 25, however, there is no creator for DNA. The creator is evolution. No intelligence is required to encode DNA. Instead, the information in DNA is the result of a natural selection acting upon random mutations rather than the actions of a being like God. The fact is that there are millions of scientists who have assembled entire libraries full of information showing that evolution is where all the species on Earth came from. Thousands of clergy members has even signed a letter stating their belief in all this scientific evidence. Does this prove God, that God is imaginary? As in proof number 8 on near-death experiences, the answer is no. However, many believers use the existence of DNA as indisputable evidence that God must exist. We can scientifically and irrefutably show that nature, rather than any God, created all the information encoded in DNA. There it is.
That's pretty cute.
That's proof that God is imaginary. There cannot be a God.
Well, they're assuming that evolution is completely true.
Correct. That is the basis.
That assumption is not correct.
Hold on a second. He said the fact is. Did you get the fact? The
it's
fact
all,
is
it's on the internet.
There are millions of scientists who have assembled entire libraries.
Everything's true on the internet.
Now here's the deal. By that perspective, there are millions of churches and or Christians or whatever, choose a religion, right, that have libraries full of books that would otherwise say that the thing that they believe in is true.
Mm-hmm.
So the mere fact that things exist and that people agree to them doesn't necessarily make it truth. It's just that people agreed to it. Okay, so but anyway, that's his proof, the fact that there are millions of scientists who have assembled entire libraries full of information showing that evolution is where all the species on Earth came from. And we can scientifically and irrefutably show that nature, rather than any God, created all the information encoded in DNA. So let me ask you this, Bhuva. This same guy gives the same thing to you. He's looking you in the face. You got like 30 seconds. What do you say?
I have 30 seconds. I'm honestly confused on what he's saying his proof is. He's saying that we're wrong and he's right. And we're wrong and he's right because we're wrong and he's right.
Because like he says so.
Right. It's
like arguing with my wife.
Yeah. Millions of books are said about this and are deoxyribonucleic acid. And that's because it's incorrect because a bunch of people say that it is correct. So I'm still trying to figure out where his proof is.
You're right. You met him where he was at and really turned him around. Good job, Boo.
I would probably have to sit there and be like, can you please explain that to me in a way that makes actual sense?
It's a rehash of the evolution argument. Basically, he's just trying to show building blocks of like we're saying the same thing. I'm saying that the building blocks of life are still DNA. They are provided by God. He's saying the building blocks of life are still DNA. They are provided by evolution. The problem, what it boils down to is the same thing that it boils down to last time he talked about evolution, was you don't get intelligence from non-intelligence, right? Non-intelligence doesn't produce something smarter than it because it doesn't know the difference. And so it can't look at the forward-thinking environment or an adaptation that it needs to make and say, you know, I've decided that this gill system I got's not going to work on land. Over the next couple of generations, I'm going to get some lungs. That way I can really branch out. Non-intelligence doesn't produce intelligence, right? It doesn't know that because it's not intelligent. And so that's where the design factor comes in. And like Ben has a solid point when they say, look, you can have millions of libraries of scientists. He even said he had thousands of clergy members who have signed a letter stating that their belief in all the scientific evidence. If they're clergy for God of the Bible, then we should either fire them or cut off one of their hands so they can stop signing papers and making the Bible look illegitimate. Because, like, it's just flat out not true. As soon as you've abandoned what's in the Bible, you're no longer a clergy of the God of the Bible. You're just a guy in a fancy coat.
Isn't that a little pompous to sign off on something like that, though? It's like, you know, my signature will be upon this, and everyone will know.
I understand what Genesis has said, but Bill sees otherwise. Signed Bill.
I look at this, and you can have a healthy debate and love Jesus about some of the stuff that he's talking about.
Agreed.
You just can. This doesn't disprove God, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, whether he disagrees as to what DNA says doesn't necessarily say, yes, there is a God, no, there isn't. It's not a foundational question. It's a peripheral question of which it's easy. You want to dig in on the details because it's a distraction from some of the other things that he's talking about.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know, Dan, anything?
Well, I think what happened here, he was on 49 and it was getting late and he had the paper was due in a couple hours, so he had to come up with number 50. So he came up with this one and he slid it down to 37 to make it look like
it wasn't done at the last minute.
Yeah, that's what happened. We got to cut him a break.
You know, I've done this a lot and I feel like I could see what the man's vision is. I get late and I just write something in and move it to the middle.
I feel like I already got the website 50, you know, proofs, so I better make sure and go 50. So.
Okay. Yeah, it wasn't strong. It's not one of his stronger ones.
Now, like I said, look, we've gone through some of these proofs, and like I said, there's some things here where you can love Jesus, and these are legitimate questions. These can be barriers for what you believe or what you think. And I think it's totally appropriate to walk through some of these things. This doesn't really stand as any type of legitimate proof that God doesn't
actually,
exist.
I don't know that I know a lot of Christ followers who are like, well, the existence of God is all in the DNA. You know, yeah, most people that I talk to that know statement. Jesus say, look, it's a relationship. It's a relationship that we have. It's a life-changing operation. It's a way of life. And not very many say, hey, it's the DNA that really drags me towards Jesus.
Yeah, right? I kind of like it. If a guy dies and 3 days later comes back to talk about it, I don't care what his DNA was like.
Right. I seem to take
it. I don't care what my DNA is like.
He says, this is the deal. I say, yes, sir, that seems to be the deal.
Whatever you said was the deal. Indeed.
I agree. Why is one of your fingernails longer? That's weird.
I gave you the lecture, DNA.
Yeah, I do what I want.
Extra DNA. All right. All right, so I don't know. Any other thoughts? We all tapped out on that one.
Right, you guys, Vendetta?
Okay. You guys nailed it.
Do you think you guys could, like, write a
I mean,
song
I was thinking
this?
The exact, all the same stuff you guys were talking about.
Perfect.
The whole time.
Here's, actually, so I've been meaning to look into some stuff when it comes to evolution. Because, like, there are things that I simply don't get. Like, I feel like there's probably folks on that side have provided answers for some of the questions that I have that I simply don't understand. Because I was watching something with the kids this week, and they were talking about a giraffe. And the lady's, like, feeding the giraffe. And, like, the giraffe evolved to be able to reach the high acacia leaves. And I'm like, think of how many iterations it would take. Like, it comes from something without a really long neck, right? So, like, you'd have to do, like, millions and millions of years of
a thousand years of.
Because it doesn't know because it can't reach the leaves yet. It's not like it looked
dying.
Up. It's not like it looked up and goes, I really hope the next time around I got a longer neck.
I hope my grandkids can eat that.
Yeah.
Think about the long neck that gets made fun of every generation. Look at that long neck.
Well, here's the deal.
And then next year it's just a little bit longer.
But here's the deal. Half the progress doesn't do anything. It shouldn't survive halfway up.
No.
It can't reach the tree, and it shouldn't make it the next round.
Yeah, you know,
it's not the fittest. It still can't reach the acacia leaves.
I feel like if evolution was true, I would have wheels for feet. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and the fish would be gone.
We'd be able to breathe.
He's at the bottom.
Fly. We'd be able to breathe underwater. Fly.
If evolution was true, I'd be indestructible.
It's true. We'd have all the good stuff.
I'd have armor, and I could wheel myself around, and I wouldn't even need food. I would just be a being.
Yeah. If I were a fish, I'd constantly be looking up and going, it's been millions and millions of years, but I'm still here.
But, hey, a
shoulder rocket launcher?
I think that would make you the apex predator if you have a rocket launcher on your shoulder.
Hey,
that
only is the nerds get what you just said.
I think Pokemon was a great example of evolution.
This is what happens.
I think Pokemon was a great example of evolution.
Pokemon?
Yeah. Charmander to Charmeleon. To Charizard. That makes sense.
It just gets bigger.
Just bigger and better. More
Dan,
fire.
You understand what's going on here?
No.
Do you guys play Pokemon?
I had to give it up when I got married.
I did it one time.
I made promises.
When it came out.
Dang.
All right.
Yeah, moving on.
It's good stuff.
Anyway. Yeah, all right. So all right, here's the deal. I'll give you I'm going to call Jesus, God 370 here. Let's yes. Ooh. I love this one. Because he's way wrong. Here's the opening salvo on proof number 38. Notice the divorce rate among Christians.
Oh.
If you've ever been to a – here's the opening salvo. If you've never been to a Christian wedding, you know that marriage is a big deal in italics, Buva. That's italicized for your pleasure.
Big
you have
deal.
The priest
big.
Or minister standing with the couple reading from the Bible and praying. The ceremony takes place in the church, the house of God. Dozens or hundreds of witnesses are on hand. In front of God, a representative of God, and all of these witnesses, a couple declares that they will wed till death do us part. The Christian faith also puts a very, very large stigma on divorce. For example, Matthew 5:32 says, but I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife and such and such. Jesus repeats that sentiment. Adultery is also a major problem in the Christian church. Adulterers get the death penalty. So let's review. Basically, the argument will go, you put so much of a focus on it. You stink at marriage. God is imaginary. That's what I imagine it will go. That will be next week. Proof number 38 from GodIsImaginary.com.
I already have a rebuttal.
Now you got to hold it.
All right. We'll be ready.
Read up
I'm
on
not going to be here.
So and if you're interested, so like I said, we've been up through 37 through this week, so we've been trying to hit him every week. And to be fair, the guy's not in the room. We're just trying to handle the conversation amongst us. Like if I were to hear someone say this, what would we say? And that's been a response.
Yeah, it's not an attack on the man that wrote the website. It's more of a First Peter thing. Can you defend your faith, right? Are there questions out there? That could the only reason we're doing this is because I read a couple proofs and I thought I don't know what to say to that. Like I know that's not true, but he has a compelling argument. I feel like he's probably right, and so I thought we got to do better than that. And so that's where it came from, and that's why we do it is because you know you should be able to have a defense for your faith and be able to have a solid stand of the God that saved you and the Jesus you believe in. And so if you can't do that, This is a good place for you to start, right? And this is a good place to figure out where your faith is and where your gaps are, and what to take back to Scripture and what to take back to prayer, and figure out where you need to be.
All right. You're listening to Live from the Path. We're here every Monday night from 10 to 11 p.m. Central Time on livefromthepath.org. You can also catch us Saturdays starting at 7 p.m. on 99.3 KTAA. And I shouldn't go a moment further without giving a big thank you to the sponsors of the show, the Eisenhower Team. If you go to eisenhowerteam.com, you can find more information about them. The realtors that helped Mike buy and sell his last house. I'm kind of looking, kind of not looking, and they're hanging in with me on
so
that.
If you see anything, just kind of let me know.
Anyway, they're easy to work with, hard to beat. Go to EisenhowerTeam.com. Valley Services, they do residential, commercial cleaning. Hey, here's it. We're past the holiday season, but there's no way you can't, no reason you can't surprise your significant other with some higher-end Valley Service to come in and clean your place.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Nothing like coming in mid-March. Everything's kind of got the lulls. No big holidays or birthdays coming up, and you're like, guess what, man? Someone's cleaning the place for the next six
Sometimes
months.
Sometimes it's a holiday just to have a clean house. That's what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Does my wife need one more burden? One more burden to handle? Why can't I?
She's already dealing with you. I feel like
that's
you could.
What I was just
about
saying?
To say that, yeah. But yeah.
So go to valleyservices.net. Those guys can help you out and tell them that you heard about it on Live from the Path, and get them in there to clean your place. It's just a thing to do. Give it a try once. See if you like it.
Yeah, you know what? Have them come over clean, and then invite somebody over real quick so they can see that your place is clean.
Yeah.
And then get that out of the way, right? If there's someone from your small group or some random guy in the street, you're like, I really want you to come over to my place, but I'm afraid you're going to judge me. So have them come over, clean it, and say, hey, tonight's the night, buddy. Come in.
Yeah.
Then they'll think great of you, and then you can kick them out, dirty it back up.
Now, but here's the deal. If you're going to do this, don't feel like you have to clean it before they get there. Like, it's their gig to come in and clean the place.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to be embarrassed because you got stuff behind the counter. That's what they do.
They've seen it all.
Yeah, they've seen it all. My great-grandma died, we went to go clean out her place, and there was a mouse in the fry daddy. Like, that's the type of stuff they're familiar with. No reason to sweat your place. All right? So anyway, let's go to valleyservices.net, hook up with them. Also, Capanna's Coffee and Gelato, they're on Lincoln Way in Ames. They got great coffee. Get yourself a good cup of coffee. Go visit them. I get the Mex Mocha. John Buva's got the gelato. Says delicious.
Absolutely delicious.
Yeah. Go check them out. Pam and Dave are out there hanging out. Good sponsors of the show. And On Purpose Promotions. He does all the promo work for the show, so he does our t-shirts. We did some hats. He does great work, and that's Jared. Go to onpurposepromos.com. Here's the deal. Please help our sponsors. We wouldn't be on legitimate radio without them. They're footing the bill for that deal because they won't let us on for free. And so get a hold of those guys. At the very least, send them an email, give them a phone call, say thanks for supporting Life from the Path. But definitely help them out. Buy a cup of coffee, get some cleaning service, get a hat, get a bunch of hats.
Get 10 hats.
Yeah. And buy a house from the Eisenhowers.
Yeah. Buy a house.
You know what? I know you weren't thinking about it, but right now it's 10:30. There's nothing else going on. Think, I might as well get a house.
Yeah.
Start looking.
Look at the dump you live in.
Get it cleaned.
Either clean it or move. Those are your options. Get a cup of coffee and think about it.
All right. You're listening to, by the way, you can catch us during the week at lifeinthepath.org. There's previous clips from the artists we've had on the show, interviews. The interview from Righteous Vendetta will be out there posted. You can dig on that. And also previous iterations of what I've heard is America's fastest growing internet game show. Mike, have you heard that's what's going on?
Yeah, I've heard it on from one source, actually. I listened Live from the Path, and they claim this is the fastest internet growing game show.
I feel like that's the case. You've either on purpose or by complete accident, you've stumbled onto Secular or Solomon.
And now, for America's fastest growing game show, Secular or Solomon.
I know this sounds like nothing's going on to you on the radio, but there's some sweet graphics if you're catching the live show.
Whoa. That's not right.
So here's the deal. Here's the deal. I'm going to give you a proverb, and you're going to tell me whether it is a secular proverb, a worldly bit of wisdom, or whether it is from Solomon, a biblical bit of wisdom.
Okay, now, is Righteous Vendetta going to have to do it Family Feud style? You can't go down the line. We don't have enough time.
Yeah, okay, yeah. You're going to have to do it Family Feud style.
You got one entry.
Elect a guy. He's the spokesman. Decide amongst yourselves what's it going to be.
And say what is.
What is. Like Jeopardy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, that's an instant fail. If you say what is, okay. That's a fail.
You guys on the chat, okay. You are encouraged to play you're encouraged to play along. So I'm going to give you the example. You can post it in on the chat so everyone can see where you're at. And we'll see how this goes. Is everybody ready?
I'm ready.
All right.
You know what? You might have to count me out. I can probably see what you're doing.
Don't look.
Okay, I'll look at Buva.
Okay.
We'll test your self-control. We're going to do this.
So your answers are either going to be secular and give me a country of origin of where this proverb came from, or it's going to be Solomon. Everybody's ready. Here we go. First item. A drowning man.
It's a Jesus show. I can't do it.
Are you encouraging him to cheat?
No way.
No.
I was telling him to help us out.
Yeah.
A drowning man is not troubled by rain. A drowning man is not troubled by rain. Secular or Solomon? Dan Hudson.
I'll say that is secular from Finland.
The Finns have trouble with drowning men.
Yeah, they always deal with water.
Righteous Vendetta. Secular or Solomon?
Secular.
Country of origin?
Sweden.
The Swedes. He's sticking with the same general area.
Scandinavia.
It's not a good idea to jump on the Hudson answer. John Boober the Third.
I'm going to go secular. I'm going to go Egypt.
Egyptians. Mike Foost.
I'm going secular Ireland.
A drowning man is not troubled by rain. Secular Persian. I would have accepted Iran.
We got it.
I would have accepted modern-day Iran.
I would say I was closest.
Okay. We got it.
Are we going by closest as in geography?
Yes.
No.
That's
no.
A half. Yeah, that's a okay. Half.
Because that makes me yes. Yes.
Yep.
It's a half point for geography closeness.
Finland's close.
All right, here we go.
Finland is nowhere near.
A worthless person, a wicked man, goes about with crooked speech. A worthless person, a wicked man, goes about with crooked speech. Secular or Solomon? Righteous Vendetta.
Solomon.
Solomon. John Boober the Third.
I'm going to go Solomon.
Solomon. Mike Foost.
Secular.
Which country?
Brazil.
The Brazilians are...
What's funny about Brazil? It's a solid guess.
Dan Hudson.
I'm going to say it is secular in Ecuador. They're always calling people evil.
Ecuadorians.
I'm sorry. When are you exposed to the talk of the modern Ecuadorian?
I get around.
He may listen to a lot of Ecuadorian talk radio.
I'm on the Facebook. Looks like a lot of Solomon's on the chat. A worthless person, a wicked man, goes about with crooked speech. It's true because it's a proverb.
Oh.
Solomon, very good.
Oh, that'd be us too.
That's when he was drunk.
Dan, you are a small
calling out Solomon.
Man.
Hey, he said he did it. That was wife number 742.
You know what you could have said? You could have said, good, at least those Ecuadorians know their Bible. That's what you could have said.
No.
Instead you went with, no. Solomon was drunk.
Prideful, he was probably a drunk.
That ain't no doubt, Dan. Prideful Dan would rather slander a Bible character than admit that he had had a wrong guess.
He has nothing and no knowledge about the Ecuadorians.
Yeah, Moses was a drunk.
All right, here we go. Very good chat. Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those who send him. Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those who send him. Secular or Solomon? John Buva.
That's Solomon.
Solomon. Mike Foos.
Solomon.
Dan Hudson.
You Hudson.
I know it has some Solomon-esque wording.
It might be a trick.
It sounds like a Ben Foos trick, but I'm going to go Solomon.
Okay, Solomon. Righteous Vendetta.
Secular Bosnia.
Secular. The Bosnians drink vinegar. I couldn't figure this out. I was trying to figure out how this, like vinegar to the teeth and like smoke to the eyes, I get vinegar to the teeth. I don't get.
Do they sting?
It erodes away.
So is the sluggard to those who send him. Solomon, Proverbs 10:26.
He ate a lot of fish.
You're out.
Fish and vinegar. You're out.
You've been replaced. You have been. Here's the deal. 9 times out of 10, sluggard is a Solomon.
Yeah, I was going to say, sluggard is the giveaway.
Yep,
for
sluggard
Solomon.
Is. Sluggard is
almost some baking soda, does some vinegar. Starts coming out.
They almost could have rhymed that. That would have been a good rhyme
like
if they would have tailed it off.
You're losing your position as my go-to man for biblical questions. You know what I'm saying? I feel like it's slipping away.
I feel like I need to read Proverbs again in
the
ESV.
I feel like I need to read the Bible.
Like all those guys from Ecuador.
From all those Ecuadorian talk radio shows.
All right.
He's going to sleep.
Where do you...
See ya.
Where's he going? You get a phone call?
The pressure's too high. He's tired.
I do that.
He's tired.
Feel okay. Like a simple excuse me.
The chat wants to hear from Carl.
Instagram plug.
Yeah. We have a shameless plug right
okay,
now.
Okay, let me have it.
Carl has an Instagram that he actually doesn't run, so which makes it better. He's a very peculiar person. So if you want to follow him on Instagram, it is at Carl Wants to Sleep, and it'll be the best Instagram you ever followed. There's no food. There's no like pedicure, manicure shots. Like it's all the real deal, like real business.
Of Carl wanting to sleep.
Of Carl wants to sleep.
Huh.
You know.
Okay. That's pretty cool.
At Instagram.
What's
at
really
Carl
gonna be funny
to
is
sleep.
When he discovers that bathroom does not work.
Oh.
Also,
yeah. Not only does
there's
it not
an
work,
Instagram
it shoots
for
water
you.
Out. That's why it's the second bathroom.
There he is. He's going to be all quiet. Weird. He's going to come in here.
It's cool. We know about it, Carl.
Don't worry.
We've been informed.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Put silk on a goat, and it's still a goat. Put silk on a goat, and it's still a goat. Secular or Solomon? Where did I leave off, Mike?
I'm going to go secular Taiwan.
Secular Taiwan. Dan Hudson.
That is straight from Gaza. That is secular.
Gaza is not a country.
It's a land
part. Gaza's a place. People fight over it.
Okay,
location.
Countries. We are going with countries.
Okay,
Gaza
we'll call
is
it Israel then.
Okay, Israel. Secular Solomon.
Secular goat Iraq. Is that secular Iraq?
Okay. I added an extra word.
Why we selected goat?
Goat Iraq.
Okay.
No, why are you so insecure about your answer? You could just put a country.
I'm perfectly confident.
He seems very confident.
I feel like this is the answer.
I'm going to go secular. I'm going to go Nigeria.
Okay. Secular Nigeria. Nigeria? Not what it is. Put silk on a goat, and it's still a goat. Secular Ireland.
What?
Ireland.
Oh. First two letters,
the Irish Proverbs.
I know you feel silly that you backed up your answer.
First two letters, dude.
Okay, I would give that to you. That's fair.
I thought he was going to say Iran, and I was going to be like,
finally my confidence paid off.
Second choice.
Iraq or Ireland? It's one of the two.
Here we go. Secular Solomon. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury, secular or Solomon. Dan Hudson.
That is straight out of the book of my friend Solomon, Proverbs. Solomon.
You call the drunk.
Proverbs.
Your drunk buddy Solomon. Righteous vendetta.
Solomon.
Solomon.
Lush buddy Solomon.
John Boover III, secular Solomon.
I'm going to go Solomon.
Mike Foost.
King Solomon.
Chat is in pretty much on Solomon. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. It's a heads up from King Solomon, Proverbs 9:7.
Yeah, we're going to give you that point because you guys didn't get a chance to answer that one.
They didn't.
But yeah,
he said Proverbs.
Solomon. Oh, did you say
Oh,
Solomon?
Yeah.
Excuse me.
I'm sorry.
He answered the question.
Okay. My apologies.
Hey, if you're going to embarrass yourself, can you do it in front of other people and not on the radio?
Fair enough.
Hey, here's my big foot in my mouth.
You guys have dances 7 days a week.
In case I didn't give you a chance to answer, blah, blah, blah. Did you notice I gave you the same voice as that evolution fish? Blah, blah, blah.
I am on a level with the evolution fish. All right, fair enough.
He's coming along. What a bummer. Here we go. Give neither counsel nor salt till you are asked for it. Give neither counsel nor salt till you are asked for it, secular or Solomon, righteous vendetta.
That's a tough one out the gate.
Take a moment to take it over. Give neither counsel nor salt till you are asked for it.
Nor salt.
Nor salt.
Somewhere with salt.
Secular.
The sea. Somewhere with salt.
Greece.
Utah.
Secular.
Greece.
Okay, I'm going to accept the country answer.
I think that's fair.
Greece. John Boover III.
I'm going to go secular Russia.
Texas is not a country, chat. I'm sorry. You're going to have to use a country. And I'm sorry, was it?
Russia. Secular.
Secular Russia. Mike.
Secular.
I don't know what
country. Sorry, I didn't have the Baltic. Is that a?
That's a
Turkey. I will accept Turkey.
Turkey.
Dan Hudson.
When I was in Papua New Guinea, I heard it on the streets. So we're going to go secular.
Everyone was saying it in Papua New Guinea. Give neither counsel nor salt till you are asked for it. Booba, if you can say it in a sweet Russian accent, I might give you half credit.
Secular Russian. It's Mother Russia.
You didn't secular? Say what he said to say. You just said Russian.
You have to
stuff.
Give the proverb as if it's Russian.
Okay, so what's
Give neither counsel nor salt till you are asked for it.
Give neither counsel nor salt till you are asked for it.
That's dead wrong.
I have a point.
Secular.
I give it to myself.
Italy.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
The answer is Italy.
I had an Irish accent earlier. You didn't give me anything.
You were wrong then, too.
Excuse me. Italy. Not Ireland.
Whatever.
Russia, blah, blah, I'll take blah. Pasta. We always order pasta. Blah, blah, blah.
Had pierogies.
I drive kid for my family. Here we go. Let's see. Oh,
Seems to be my winner.
Where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in abundance of counselors, there is safety. Where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in abundance of counselors, there is safety. Secular or Solomon? John Boova.
Secular, Oprah Winfrey and Dr. Phil Studios.
That's not fair to refer to Oprah as a country. I'm submitting Niger on your behalf.
There we go, Niger.
Mike Foost.
Solomon.
Solomon, Dan Hudson.
Solomon.
Solomon, Righteous Vendetta.
Solomon.
Boy, you know what it feels like to be out on a limb here, Bubba? I mean, cold, lonely, maybe nude. That's how. That's where you're at right now. You're out on a limb.
Fair enough.
In a cold rainstorm.
I am.
Where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in abundance of counselors, there is safety. King Solomon. King
Son of David.
Solomon, Proverbs 11.
I was took out the table there for a second.
Boy, oh boy, you've mistaken the word of the Lord for Oprah.
I said
what a mistake.
Studios of Oprah.
Common mistake. That's
why we do the game. Is that exact problem.
Fair enough.
All right, here we go. If God lived on earth, people would break his windows. If God lived on earth, people would break his windows, secular or Solomon. And I'm going to make an exception here. I don't necessarily have to have a country. I would also accept a people group. If God lived on earth, people would break his windows, Righteous Vendetta.
Secular, England.
England, secular. John Buva.
Secular, the Irish.
The Vandals.
The Irish.
Okay, here's the deal. There's five people in the world who think Troy's funny, and they're all in the studio right now.
That's why I'm telling jokes. Yeah,
this is the only chance
he has.
It's for the people.
I'm sorry. You want to dance again? I'll do the dance.
I'm just going to sit here for a while and do this, okay?
Okay, I'm going to go with secular and peoples, eh? The Apache Indians. Stop whistling. That's how I think about things.
All right, Dan Hudson.
That could be true.
I'm going Kazakhstan.
Okay.
There's another syllable in there. Anyway, they threw it wrong. And I'm going with secular.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody.
That's it.
All right, here we go. If God lived on earth, people would break his windows. Secular, Jewish proverb.
Oh, That Irish thing was close.
Yeah, it was almost right on.
Casting stones?
That's it.
Oh.
Chat, how'd you guys do? Secular? Okay, they're doing all right.
I got a couple half points.
They're doing all right. Hey, you've just been a part of America's fastest growing, unverified internet game show, Secular versus Solomon. Give yourself a hand. Very good. Very, very good.
That applause was for me. I hope you guys.
No, I'm certain that it was.
All for me.
Hey, so Righteous Vendetta, I got a question for you. So you guys are out and about in the world.
Yes.
What do you do to pass the time when you're not playing a show and you're not on a suite live from the Path Radio program?
Well, we do an assortment of activities. Read our Bible. Audio Pokemon. Version Bible.is. You ever heard of it?
No.
It's very neat. It's dramatized with keyboards and synths and sweet stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you ever considered doing your own? Releasing your own Bible?
No.
Okay. I'm just throwing stuff out there. I mean, don't do it, all right? I don't
stutter and just say like between every word.
Yeah.
It tends to be a good seller.
Yeah. Morgan Freeman.
We definitely wouldn't have Justin do it. I don't know. What do you guys do?
What did you do to deserve
that? Yeah, no
kidding.
I have a very bad stutter. I talk faster than I think, and I don't talk very well.
You know, Buva has the same problem. Yeah. I understand completely.
It's
silence isn't good for radio. Just to be honest with you.
Pass it.
He
doesn't speak very much English.
Do the Rosetta Stone.
I can speak very well English. Okay, I'm not. Probably later on in this interview, there's going to be a few words, or maybe a word, calling me a Mexican. But I'm not really a Mexican, so...
Took a harsh turn.
That's
I didn't see it go this way.
They're making fun of him for stuttering, but I don't really...
I didn't realize Mexican was an accusation.
I didn't either. It's truth.
That's not the truth, because I'm not.
I just call him as I see it.
I feel like there's a lot of books agreed on by a lot of people that are Mexican.
in my spare time, I do a lot of shaving while I'm at home in hopes that when I go on tour, I'll have a beard.
Right.
Doesn't work, and so I watch a lot of television, and I take care of my grandmother, and I shop, but I don't buy stuff. I just go around and look at stuff.
That's called creeping.
Yeah, like I do that a lot.
You're quite possibly the most intriguing man I've ever met.
Okay, just wait until you get to this guy.
Okay, waiting on it.
he would answer sleep, but he'll probably be sleeping.
So. Carl, you sleeping?
Are you like that guy from The Wiggles that's always asleep? Jeff, wake up, Jeff. Come on, Jeff.
Yeah, that's probably me.
Yeah, be honest, I actually was on The Wiggles.
I like to play video games, and I like to play guitar.
and I like to sleep.
Yeah.
Oh, and drink Mountain Dew. Yeah. I love Mountain Dew.
I feel like Mountain Dew's not helping out all three of those other things, but I hear what you're
right? Yeah. No, Mountain Dew's perfect for video games. They even have one called Game Fuel. I mean, it's like, it's made for video games.
So it's you guys that are clogging up my Mountain Dew shelf with that Game Fuel garbage because it's in the way of the legitimate Mountain Dew. I get irritated.
Wait, you guys
time.
Still have that?
Oh, yeah, we have it.
I'm going to Walmart.
That's where we keep it.
Nasty.
Hey, man. Who does somebody do an Isaiah impression?
Oh, yeah,
yeah. Justin, go ahead.
Okay. Let me hear this Isaiah impression.
For,
do we have to, is
wait,
there a story?
Just a heads up. Okay. Just a heads up. What? No. This just happened. This just happened today.
Okay.
Like it's going to be 100,000 times over exaggerated than what I did today. Uh-huh. But just so everybody has a heads up, that it's not me. It's not me.
Okay.
Okay, so I'll start. I was saying this is quite literal.
we were in the studio about in November, I think. And the thing is, we were in the studio for 13 days, and they only let me play my drums for 3. And then they did, like, the guitars, and they did, like, the drums. So I just said I had to listen to my own music, and I couldn't even play my drums for 11 days or 10 days or 8 days or something like that.
I sound exactly like that, right? That's amazing how I sound like that.
Okay. Even if
that so much, but
it doesn't matter whether it's true or not. That's funny.
To get things straight, I actually played drums for 2 days in the studio. So
I over-exaggerated that part. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Don't do it again because we're at Jesus' place right now, and you're just a liar right now. So.
You are listening to Live from the Path. We're in studio with Righteous Vendetta. You can find more information about them by going to righteousvendetta.com. Also, check them out on Facebook. If you go to the Live from the Path Facebook page, we like Righteous Vendetta. And so check our likes. You can check them out and then like them. Or like us afterwards. I can totally understand that. With that sweet impression, I feel like it's going to be hard to hang on to the rest of the program. So anyway, check it out. All right, Mike, here's the deal. People need help. The world's rough. People have relationship problems. They got money problems. They need some help, and they're writing into Life from the Path.
Here it is.
What can we help them with?
Dear Life from the Path, I've been in love with Richard, in quotes, for 14 years. We broke up after we dated for a while because my alcoholic mother kept interfering. She kept telling me how bad he was for me, and I, thinking my mother had my best interests at heart, believed her. After a divorce on my part and a breakup on his, we are now in a long-distance relationship. We hope to make our relationship permanent after getting to know each other again. My problem is when Richard is unhappy or upset with someone else, he takes it out on me. It doesn't seem to matter what happened. He'll pick a fight over something inconsequential. It drives me crazy. I know what he's doing. I just don't know how to stop it. The latest flare-up involved the fact that his dog was missing, so he picked a fight with me because I always tell him how nice the weather is where I live. He refuses to get counseling. What do I do?
Get counseling.
It seems like you get counseling.
Yeah. Wait, hold on. What kind of fight do you pick over your dog missing? Hey, my dog's missing.
About the weather.
Hey. Thanks a lot, jerk. Hey, like, what do you...
These are totally secondary issues. Just dump the man. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is who you're trying to live a life with? Your long-term relationship? You're going to... The two are going to become one flesh with this potential man right here? He needs to be a completely different man before you agree to be in a relationship with anymore because he's a child of a man. You know what I'm saying? Who long-distance fights with a woman about his dog being missing and you mentioning the weather? Like, these are the actions of a 13 to 14-year-old boy. he's not material. He's not marriage material. He's just not right now. You know what I'm saying? You're just going to have to wait maybe 14 more years out to strengthen him up and give him some maturity. And maybe you should try it again.
Now, did she say, I'm trying to remember now because it took a turn there. Were they married in the beginning or just dating in the beginning?
I think they were just dating in the beginning.
Yeah, they were dating in the beginning. Okay. And then the alcoholic mother, which was something that needed to be said, was talked about. And then she said that it wasn't in her best interest, thought it was in her best interest to dump Richard.
Yeah.
And then, what was it, a breakup on her part, a divorce on his part, and now they're in a long-distance relationship.
I think her mom was right. Run.
Yeah, she played
the alcohol.
My
so
alcoholic
clear.
Mother, yeah. Like, he's she's wrong, first off, and then going into
this guy
a ring
who fights
with her.
With me over random things that have nothing to do with me. I love him. I can't understand why she doesn't like him.
Yeah, it's a, here's the thing: is if you were talking to a person that had some, whoever's writing the question, she doesn't have a she has an incorrect perspective of herself and the people around her, right? Like if you're asking for advice on how to fix such a flawed human being so you can be in a relation with them, you obviously have a poor perception of yourself of what you're going to take. You know what I'm saying? Like if either one of these lives are based on Jesus, you have a biblical view that describes what you're looking for when you're looking to get married. He doesn't fit the bill right now. So instead of trying to mold this person into something that they're currently not, you can certainly be friends with them. You can certainly love them. You can certainly pray for them and whatever. But, like, marriage material is not – it's not an option for you right now. Like,
yeah, that's the beauty of dating is you have the option to get out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not locked in yet.
Yeah. Run.
Okay. So our advice here is it's time to bail. If you want to work at it after you've bailed. But I feel like it's time to get out.
Yeah. That's okay. All right. Price of Vendetta?
Yeah, I think it's not fair to you or the other person to try to make somebody into something they're not. Maybe your perception of them is not the same as who they are or who you'd like them to be. And it's really hard, but maybe it is time to look past it. But then again, you know, we're not God, and we can't tell you what to do. So, but that's our advice.
Secular says, your problem isn't that Richard uses you as a scapegoat for his frustrations. It's that you tolerate it. It's possible that because of your mother's alcoholism and the unpredictable behavior you were subjected to during your formative years, you have accepted Richard's behavior. Because he refuses counseling, you should get some, Dan Tudson. What he's doing is not acceptable. It is emotional abuse. From my perspective, the healthiest thing you can do for yourself besides break up with Richard would be to keep the romance long distance. That's
a terrible idea.
That's an odd idea.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an unsuccessful relationship, so just make sure there's like 1,000, 2,000 miles in between.
Stay
you.
In it.
And then
just
you really
stay apart.
Have to worry about like running into him in the street and being like, oh no,
yeah.
You're here.
I feel like Secular had some, I mean, most of it seemed all right, but until the end where it says, just keep up with this waste of your time and abuse, that seems like a mistake.
It's just like, just keep it at mental abuse. That's what it sounds
yeah.
like. It,
yeah.
I,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
That way to get into
like each other in real life, it may evolve.
Yeah.
Here we go. Dear Life from the Path. Dear Life from the Path. I'm a retired woman, active in my community, and troubled by a recent incident involving a longtime friend. This is the third time it has happened, and it left me feeling embarrassed. When we were out together meeting new people, she will introduce herself as being a secretary or a senior secretary, and me as just a receptionist. The job title is true, but I hold a college degree. I have held other positions commanding greater respect. I am chair of the local council of aging, a town meeting member, and on the cultural council. The last time it happened, I had brought her to a lunch to a very nice restaurant, and the people we were meeting were members of my community. Why does this make me feel so demeaned? Am I being petty or vainly pretentious? Right now, I no longer want to continue the friendship. Wow. Can you help me understand and form a game plan? I think I may be too close to the forest to see the trees.
Maybe you need to establish a little bit more of self-worth before you're able to really like break down what people are referring to as just a receptionist. If that honestly hurts your feelings to the point that you're going to end a friendship over it, you kind of need to examine where you feel yourself as being. You honestly, you have this degree. Do you feel like you're using that? Do you feel like you're not getting anything out of there with your just as a receptionist job? Maybe you need to pursue another career if you feel you're not important enough that your title is not good enough for you.
I think she needs to wear her chairman of the elderly name tag.
The aging.
Aging, and then she could just say, oh, yes, but I'm also the chairman of the aging.
I think she needs to get a couple ribbons.
That's going
to
hold some weight.
Yeah, to go. Yeah.
You guys are the worst.
No, not
the worst. Hold
on. Well, I mean, it's really, she just needs to either accept where she's at and get over it. I mean, it's a pride issue. She's all upset about what people think about her.
I'll buy that.
So either get a different job or go out with someone else, or because it's going to keep bothering her. It's going to keep happening. It has happened in the past. It'll happen in the future. You know?
Here's the deal. You've been listening to Life from the Path coming at you every Monday night, 10 p.m. at lifefromthepath.org. Or Saturdays on 7 o'clock, 99.3 KTIA. Here's what we're going to do. If you want to hear the rest of this advice, you're going to have to check out the podcast. Go to the website. Listen it up. I appreciate you guys on KTIA, but you just don't get the full deal.
Bummer.
We'll see you next week. If you're listening to the podcast or hanging out on the website, we'll be right back with you. Okay, so here's the deal. First of all, why don't you just tell your friend to stop saying just in front of the thing? I feel like that's pretty easy.
Yep.
Hey, it's kind of rude when you say I'm just a something. Yeah. It implies that I am of lower worth than you.
Yeah. You're just a kind of making me mad.
Yeah. second of all, I agree with John Buva. Like, if it's a, it shouldn't bother me. It's just simply, that's like someone saying, hey, well, okay, this could be legitimate, totally legitimate. I could be standing next to a guy and said, this is Ben. He just hosts an internet radio program. Because, I mean, like, you could reasonably say it that way.
Yeah.
It's just internet radio. I mean, I suppose we're on the legitimate radio at some point. But barely, like someone could say, it's just an internet radio show. And like, I don't know, that it doesn't really bother me. It implies a judgment that I don't agree with. So like, what do I care? I would say, dude, I wish you wouldn't do that. It makes you look pompous.
Here's the thing. Like, it's easy to sit in this chair and say, you don't need to be getting your affirmation from other people, right? But the truth of it is, everybody does, to a certain extent, get their affirmation from other people. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like, you know, there's a difference between the scale tipping one direction, right? Yeah. If I define my entire existence by what other people think, that's a problem. But, like, everybody seeks some sort of approval on some basis. And yeah, so,
that's true. There's a sexy guy in the mirror that validates me, and he's always real gracious about it, but I see what you're saying. I mean, people have that problem.
So anyway, I think the broad sweeping thing is like, if you're comfortable with what you do and what you have going, and, you know, really, if one person says that it's, you know, demeans you by saying just the secretary, you need to stop giving them so much weight. You know what I'm saying? Like, their opinion, it does not define you. This is one of the benefits of being a Christ follower, of knowing Jesus. He defines you. His the fact that you were bought and paid for, the price. Jesus defines who you are and what you're worth. And he decided you were worth enough to die for. So whatever Johnny, whatever doofus that doesn't like your job, it's really just not that important. Like, it's willing to be dropped.
So what you're saying is that she needs Jesus first.
Yes. If she doesn't currently have Jesus, dang it, Dan. Dang it. She doesn't currently have
Jesus. That's a great answer.
Also, I believe being head of the aging council, that sounds like anyone could get on that council. I don't mean to be your...
I think you have to be a certain age.
Wait, what? She listed a bunch of stuff, though. What was the rest
chair,
of the stuff?
A chair, that's not the leader now, a chair of the local council on aging, that feels like a free-for-all, a town meeting member, now, I attended a meeting.
Hold on, a town meeting member?
Yeah.
Like, those are open to the public. Anybody can go in there.
Here it comes.
You don't have to be in the town. You can just kind of walk in.
And on the cultural council, I represent myself when around other people.
These all sound like, is this some of those deals like when you get declared the oldest person on earth, they always die like a week later, you know, and it's like, oh, bummer. I mean, isn't that the worst thing to come in and say, you're the oldest living person? You know, I'm the chairman of the elder. Never. Okay.
You're head of the aging people, not the king of them.
I know, but still, I'm just saying. It just doesn't sound good.
You got to have someone that's a little bit younger to help wrangle them.
Well, I'm thinking what happened to the previous one.
I broke a hip. Me too. We're down.
Here we go. Secular says, your friend is insecure that she describes you as just a receptionist in her attempt to make her own job designation appear more important. And that's what is offensive. You don't need a game plan in dealing with her. Just tell her to cut it out or the friendship will be history. Whatever happens after that, your problem will be solved one way or another. Last one. Here we go.
Oh, hold on a second. I do have one question. She said, or the friendship will be history. If you had a friend that was doing that, and they kind of just refused, they were otherwise a decent friend, but they refused to change how they introduced you, is that worth cutting the thing, or do you just chalk it up and move on?
I wouldn't cut it for that.
I mean, but they're insisting. They're obviously doing it on purpose.
Yeah, some people are just built that way. You got to suffer them. Because your only move, what's your rebuttal, right? It's a prideful rebuttal. Like,
I won't be referred to this way.
Yeah, I won't be called just. I don't care. I wouldn't care. It would irritate me at the moment, but, like, is it worth losing a friend over? You know who they are, whatever. I don't know. I think I can let that go.
I think it's better to talk to the person about it than to risk losing the friendship. I mean, obviously, it's already damaging the friendship, so I don't see any harm in actually talking to this person about it.
Let's do a practice. Okay, I'm the offender. You're the one. That's
are we
being
both
offended.
Girls or are we guys?
No, we're. You pick your role. I'll be who I am.
Be a girl.
You better be a dude.
All right. I'm gonna be a girl. I'm the offend. I'm the person who.
You're the one being offended. I'm the guy instituting the just.
Okay.
I say blah blah blah. Hey, Booba, have you met my friend? He's just a secretary.
And this, what is your position? Are you my boss?
No, I'm a secretary as well. I just refer to myself as administrative assistant.
Okay. All right, administrative assistant. All right,
that's me.
All right. I really, whenever you introduce me as just a secretary, it kind of hurts my feelings. I was wondering what is the reasoning behind that? I mean, I know that I am just a secretary,
but it kind of hurts my feelings when you use that, you say it in that kind of tone.
Yeah,
that,
I feel like you're being kind of sensitive on this deal. You are kind of just a secretary. You want to go out for a donut or something?
Well, then at that point, I'm like, no, not really.
not even a donut?
No.
What can I get you to make you feel better about yourself?
Well, I don't think you really care about that. I think you just want to spend time with me because you don't have any friends.
Look, it's not my fault. You're just a secretary, okay? I don't know why you're being so harsh on me. But here's the deal. If it would help you out for me to refer to you, what would you like to refer it as?
Well, you could just say, this is the secretary at such and such place.
Okay.
Or this is my secretary.
Or president.
President.
Or president of the
what's
universe.
You know
king of the aging community.
You know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say, this is my friend. Let's
That's
do that.
Perfect.
And you can define yourself however you choose to define yourself because you're your own man. Okay? I don't have to tell you who you are.
Yeah.
Just look inside and be that.
Yeah. There you go.
This is all my right. friend.
All it's right. not, yeah.
I feel like I solved this.
There's
thing,
no reason to worry that you're just a secretary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, he doesn't have half the talent I have, but he's my friend.
President of the desk.
This sounds a lot like our conversation.
I feel like that totally worked out. What's the secular advice?
Secular advice is that was it. Remember, we talked about it. Whatever happens after that, your problem will be solved.
Oh, yeah. Okay, you're right. I cut you off.
Here we go. Last question.
Let's go.
Dear Life from the Path, a good friend of mine gave me some books. Books she didn't like. My question, why would you pass on something you do not enjoy reading?
that's a good question. I often do that. As a matter of fact, everything I've given away, I didn't want anymore. That's why I gave it away.
There's always a good chance that we have different interests, and I figured you would like it.
Wait a minute.
Hi,
I'm trying to see these conversations in my head.
Hold on a second. Hi, you come off as someone who likes crappy books.
Exactly. That's what I'm
Here
saying.
You go.
It's just like, I didn't quite like this book. It's not really up to par on my level, but you seem like you might enjoy it, so here's a list of them.
Okay, now hold on a minute. Now, to be fair, though, after I got done listening to Righteous Vendetta, I know a couple fellas where you fit just in line with their style of music, and I text both of them and said, hey, we're going to have these fellas on the show. You should go check out their website. I really think you dig on their music. Now, does that mean that your music isn't for me? No. Does it mean that I think it would genuinely fit the two fellas that I text much, much better? Yes. And so that's why I text them, because I think they'd really enjoy it.
But you downloaded their tune and could still listen to it. The book, you're giving away and saying, I simply don't want this. Someone else can read it.
Yeah, so basically what I just got out of this is you don't like our music.
That's what I call it.
It was kind of hidden. In
Mike, was that what you were saying?
It scares his family. Do you want us to leave right now? Or
Actually, yes.
Take your drums.
These guys are just musicians. I could go at any time.
You guys can stay around for 13 days. You can hang for a couple.
See when I was
don't give me the eyes.
When I was in elementary school, I still do love spinach. Nobody around me liked spinach, so my plate got filled up with spinach because they didn't want it, and I did. I was happy. They were happy. It's the same thing with the book.
Are you comparing Righteous Vendetta to spinach?
I'm talking about bad books.
You're like vegetables people don't like.
Here's a book I don't care for. Maybe you'll care for it. Maybe you like this book.
One man's trash is another man's treasure.
Exactly.
Okay, I feel like that's okay.
That's it.
Yeah, I don't see a problem with giving someone else books. I get books from different family members all the time that I will never read. And I've given them away saying, you know, in all honesty, this seems like something you would really enjoy. Here's a book.
Now, would it be more awkward if they gave you, like, self-help books, like how to be a better person?
That's what I get. Guys, that's what I was saying.
Somebody gifted me Financial Peace University by Dave Ramsey. That hurt. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
I get life planners.
I can tell from a distance that you are terrible with money. thanks, Grandma.
Life planners and diet books.
Being a pastor of the family, I get everyone in the family has given me a set of, you know, Footprints, the little poem. I get a lot of books that, like, Reader's Digest version of, you know, the story of Samson or something. And I'm like,
hey, Dan, have you ever heard of Chuck Colson? Yeah. I really think you'd love Chuck Colson.
This would be great on your coffee table. And I was like, all righty. So, you know, sometimes it happens.
Actually, that reminds me of, do you guys remember, like, gifts you gave your parents when you were little? And it seemed like a really good idea at the time, but, like,
cigarettes.
So.
He died. That didn't turn out well. That was terrible.
That's exactly where I was going with it. Good, yeah. Dan. Classic. I remember when I was like, I don't know, 7 or 8 or whatever, Like, I was relying on my mom to provide money to buy gifts for my dad, but my parents were divorced, right? So she wasn't really kicking in that much money. And we got our dad, like, a sack of disposable razors. How crappy of a gift is that? Shaving cream and disposable razors. You mean everything to me, Dad. Stuff you already have, no doubt. This is a little scraggly. And then I thought, how disappointing for my dad to look at that and go, like, when my kids think, what would he want more than anything else in the world? What does a father mean to them? And they're like, disposable razors and Barbasol. Thanks for being the good dad.
I can actually speak specifically to that because I gave my dad a Seen It game once. That was just like Sopranos.
Like the DVD thing?
Yeah, the DVD of Sopranos. And I think he watched one episode before he really got saved by Christ. And then I gave it to him one year. And then I remember seeing it. When he passed away, we picked up his stuff. And I saw it in the wrapping. And this was 6 years later. And we cleaned out his room. Yeah, exactly. We cleaned out his room, and I found it, and it was in its wrapping still, and I could not stop laughing. I'm just like, what was
you know
I
what?
Thinking?
That's one heck of an old man that would keep it, though. I'd have
thrown
it away.
Yeah, he didn't throw it away. He was just like, you know, my son
gave me this.
He should have gotten
it back.
I would have laughed hysterically. I have gotten stuff that I've given away. I have gotten it back before, and it was a total joke, but I laughed hysterically when it happened, so it was worth it.
It would have been funnier if he gave it to Dan and said, I feel like you'd really like this.
Dan, have you ever watched Sopranos? Like, I think you might like the scenic game of it.
Yeah.
You're listening to Live from the Path on livefromthepath.org. Every Monday night from 10 to 11 on the net, plus bonus content. Today the bonus content is brought to you by Righteous Vendetta. Where are you guys heading next?
Indianapolis.
Okay, so if you're in Indianapolis, and everybody knows you're not doing anything, and you can't use our sponsors, so you need to go see the show. Do you know where it is?
Yes, at the Gear.
Okay, here's what you're going to do. Righteous Vendetta will create such a buzz in the town that you just walk up to the first guy you see on the stage, on the street, and you say, hey, where's Righteous Vendetta? Where's that show going down? And they're going to know.
And everybody's going to know.
Yeah,
it's at the
if
Gear.
If they don't know, they'll you know. Tell them where it is. And then you tell them to tell the next guy.
It's at the Gear, dummy. You want some used books?
Yeah.
That's how it's going to go down.
That's where you live.
There's no way it doesn't happen that way. All right. Big thank you to Righteous Vendetta for coming in the studio. Thanks
thank
a lot,
you guys.
Best
thank
of luck.
You.
I'm excited for the new music when it comes out, and hopefully we'll see them again. Please check out our sponsors. At least let them know that you love Live from the Path and you appreciate them sponsoring us. We will see you next week. Thanks for listening.